Amen. You may please be seated. And if you have your Bible app with you, I invite you to join me in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 20. We are continuing in our journey through the Gospel of John, looking at the life and ministry of Jesus, the one who declares that he is the light of the world. John chapter 8 is where we find ourselves. I'll begin reading in verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it's written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Please join me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for our chance to be gathered together this morning in worship. We give you thanks for a brand new year. It's in this transition from one year to the next that we gaze back into the year that was and we could see plainly the way in which you have been working in each of our lives. And as we turn our gaze toward the year ahead, we recognize that you are waiting for us in that space. We acknowledge your plans for us. We also declare our desire to follow you. And so as we begin this brand new year with a few minutes spent in your scripture, I pray that you would give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see in this text. I pray you'd give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And I pray you'd give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and what we understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our story today gets underway in verse 13 with some challenged testimony that comes from Jesus. You'd be forgiven if in this journey that we're taking through the Gospel of John, you've sensed a bit of repetition along the way. There's been a lot of testimony, there's been a lot of challenge, and it kind of seems like we keep bumping back and forth between scenes of Jesus doing things, performing miracles, and then also testifying once again and having these confrontations with the religious elite of his day. If you're noticing that pattern, you're noticing a pattern that is there. It's something that we are encountering as we go. And in just a few minutes, as we get a bit further down, I think I can help to explain how all of these things hook together in the scriptures themselves. But let's start with the challenge testimony in verse 13. The challenge is, you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. This is the religious leaders coming to Jesus, and they're citing Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 19, all significant portions of the law that talk about just this thing. And technically, they're right. The law said you needed two or three witnesses, but their focus, their goal in this moment is simply to discredit Jesus. Because Jesus was developing a following. Jesus had become a threat. They needed Jesus gone from the religious landscape of their day, especially there in Jerusalem during the festival. They had already tried to arrest him before. They're seeing if they can coordinate this once again. They don't deal with the content of Jesus' testimony at all, but seek instead to dismiss him and dismiss it on a technicality. Jesus responds in verses 14 through 19. Their arguments, no surprise and also no concern to him. He's well aware of the law's requirements, and so he begins by telling them that his testimony alone would be enough because of who he is. He says, you have no idea where I come from. In essence, you haven't witnessed God, but I have. I have been an eyewitness to the power and presence of God. Jesus continues by reminding them that only two witnesses are needed, me and the Father who sent me. It's clear that Jesus is referring to Yahweh. He uses the definite article when he talks about his Father, the Father. They simply respond, where is your Father? Disregarding once again what Jesus is testifying. He finally says, you don't know me or my Father, which is a painful statement for Jesus to make to the religious leaders of his day. They are the ones who are meant to know the Father. They are the ones who are meant to make the Father known to the people. And so in front of all the people in the midst of this festival, Jesus says, you don't even know the Father. Those who were listening that day would have heard the condemnation of Jesus' statement. But what got this debate started in the first place? Let's go all the way back to verse 12 to the testimony in question. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. On the surface, it sounds like a beautiful statement, a wonderful statement. We love lights. We use our candlelight in the services on Christmas Eve. We have our Christmas lights displayed. We see power in light, truth in light, clarity in light. And so Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But what's the significance? What's the big deal? Why is this testimony causing so much trouble? Well, it's because there is so much more happening here than we can see just on the surface of this story. We need to actually back up a little bit in order to really understand what's unfolding here. Let's back all the way up to chapter 7, verses 1 to 13, the text we were in a couple weeks ago. In chapter 7, 1 to 13, we were told that Jesus went to the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, and that's where he still is in our text today, but we need to remember what happened as he first arrived. That was that eight-day festival. It focused on the crops and the gift of the crops that were brought by God. It focused as well on the faithfulness of God all the way back during the Exodus. There were two primary ceremonies that went with the Feast of Tabernacles. The first we already considered together, that water ceremony. That was where there was a procession that went all the way up to the temple on the very last day of the festival itself. And that is where the priest would then pour out that water offering on the chancel inside the temple. And it would be the culmination and celebration of the feast itself. God providing the water that then provided the blessing of the crops. That's where Jesus said, I am living water. But there was also a ceremony that had to do with fire. And that ceremony took place the first night of the festival itself, and likely every night after that, all the way to the end. This ceremony that regarded fire involved four lampstands that were placed about the temple courts. Each of these lampstands was 75 feet tall, and each of those lampstands had four giant bowls of oil, which meant there were four lampstands and 16 bowls of oil, all of which would be lit on each of the evenings of this particular ceremony or festival in order to celebrate the gift of light, God who was the light of the world. Now we're told in chapter 7, verse 37, that Jesus stood and taught on the last and greatest day. That's his talk about living water, reminding them that he is the source. But then we have chapter 7:53 through 8:11, basically the bulk of the verses that we considered together last week. They come right after that, and they seem to be out of place. Most scholars believe that those verses are reliable, but they are not coming in the right sequence. Because if you look back at chapter 7, verse 52, and you look then at chapter 8, verse 12, the first verse of today's text, 8, verse 12 picks up right where 752 left off. Jesus standing on that last day, talking about himself being the living water, and then beginning immediately following that with the statement that he makes today, where he stands at the Feast of Tabernacles in front of these lamps and says, I am the light of the world. Do you see it now? It wasn't just a simple statement about light. It was Jesus once again stepping into the ancient ceremonies and practices of the Jewish people and saying in the midst of them, this is about me. What we celebrate here is talking about me. He'd already done it with water, and now he stands on this day in front of all of those burning bowls of oil, those lampstands in the temple, and he says, for everyone there who is celebrating God as the light of the world, I am the light of the world. The cloud and fire that were your protection and guidance in the wilderness, they were the presence of God with you, but now I am the presence of God with you. I am God. No wonder the Pharisees challenged Jesus' testimony, and no wonder they sought to arrest him. Seeing the full context here, and understanding the way Jesus is entering into each of these ceremonies all the way through, and declaring that he is what each of those are about, we can understand more of the religious leaders' anger. We can understand why the tension was mounting. We can understand why they wanted to be rid of Jesus. We can understand why they sought to arrest him, because he was destroying everything. He was changing everything. From where we sit today, we can see that he was fulfilling everything. But for many in that day, it didn't appear that was so. He just seemed to be a rabble-rouser, someone who was misinformed, someone who thought more highly of himself than he ought, rather than being the one he was declaring himself to be, that he himself was God. So what does all of this mean for us? Well, first and foremost, it should wipe away any doubt that Jesus clearly claimed to be Messiah and God. There are those in the world who say Jesus is an inspiration. An inspirational teacher, someone whose teachings I seek to follow. He just didn't really ever claim to be God like some people say, but that's not what the Gospels teach. You spend any time in the Gospels and you find that Jesus declared himself to be exactly that. And this should wipe away any doubt that we might have of his intention to declare that that's exactly who he was. But secondly, today's text defines for each and every one of us who we are to be in this world around us today. Listen to the words of Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus teaching in another place about the reality of what he just taught about during this festival. Jesus says to you, and he says to me, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus' teaching that day at the festival was shocking to the religious leaders, that he would declare himself to be God himself in their midst. But in many ways, his teaching in the Gospel of Matthew is even more shocking, because what he's doing is he's saying to you and to me, this person who I am, this light that I am, that points to the reality of God the Father, you also exist in this world as that same light. And when you choose to follow after me, when you choose to take me at my word, when you choose to love others well, when you choose to offer forgiveness, when you choose to live as peacemakers in this world, every time you do this, you are that light on a hill that shines in a dark world and points to the Heavenly Father, the goodness of the Heavenly Father, the love of the Heavenly Father, the promise of salvation offered in the Heavenly Father. And all it takes for you and I is the intention, as we wake up each new day, to live as light, to embrace what Jesus said is already true about us, to follow after him, knowing that as we do this in the smallest of ways and in the largest of ways, we point to the Heavenly Father, the hope of the world, the salvation that comes through our God. In this brand new year, in the midst of a world And I feel like I just keep saying it and saying it. That feels like it's spinning out of control every time we look at the news. We have the quiet confidence as those who follow after Jesus to know that he is in charge, that he holds this world in his hands, and that each of us have been invested by him with the light of the world. And all we need to do is live as his and let our light shine. And we let his salvation, his peace, and his blessing flow through us to this world around us in every day that we choose to follow him. Let me pray for us as a congregation toward that end as we get this brand new year underway. Lord Jesus, as controversial as your teaching was in the temple that day, in many ways it's more controversial that you would say to us that we are the light of the world, that by transforming us, by giving us the gift of your Spirit, by giving us the body of your teaching that we can live after in each new day, that you have told us, you assure us that our following after you is a testimony to who you are, to the Heavenly Father, to the power of the Spirit, that we in each new day, no matter how small our world may feel, get the chance to rise out of bed, to move about our day, and to be a light, to be a testimony, to bring love and joy and hope and peace to a world who needs it, to family members around us who need to see that and feel that, to coworkers, to schoolmates, to neighbors, to friends. I pray for each of us, those of us who call this community home, that we would begin this year with a commitment in our hearts to doing just this for you. We beg of you that you'd give us all of the strength we need for it. Give us joy that is overflowing. Give us a sense of purpose in our living that stems from you, that flows from you, so that we know that in all of the big things we do for you and all of the small things we do for you, we become a blessing to this world as you intended. And we live and serve as the light of the world. I pray all of these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.